I read to you just two or three verses from the Word of God. I think they sum up my testimony, really. From Psalm 45, "My heart is overflowing with a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King," that's the Lord Jesus. "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." Again, speaking of the Lord Jesus, "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever." And then a lovely little verse in Peter's epistle. "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." Isn't that lovely? He is precious. Now, in the old country, they tell us that if we keep looking back to the past and talking about the past, it's a sign that we're getting old. Which reminds me of the story of the man who was asked his age. And he said very confidentially to the inquirer, "Can you keep a secret?" He said, "Yes." He said, "And so can I." And talking about birthdays and age, thank you very much for that lovely card and for those orchids. I haven't had my birthday yet. It's actually in July. But I won't tell you how many years have passed. Now, some of the most vivid memories that I have are memories that go right back to my childhood days. So I'm thinking of the past at the moment. And some of these things are sometimes more clear to me than things that have happened just a week or so ago. Particularly those memories that relate to the Lord Jesus and the gospel. And one of the things that I can remember most vividly is of being at home, because both my parents were Christians, and my mother used to polish the lino floor till it shone like glass. We hadn't any carpets in the house in those days. And while she was polishing the floor, she would teach me passages of Scripture. She taught me John chapter 14, part of it, Exodus chapter 12, and there she would be polishing away very vigorously and teaching me those Scriptures so that I could recite them at the Sunday school anniversary or prize giving or something. That was one memory. And then every Friday night at our little gospel hall, we used to have what was called the Barnsbury's Happy Band. And this was a children's meeting in a hall probably about this size that was packed with little children from London. Some of them were really quick-witted and cheeky, and it was a bit of a job to keep them in order. But we used to sing those lovely choruses like, "Wounded for me, wounded for me, there on the cross, he was wounded for me." And all those lovely CSSM choruses that perhaps some of you ladies will remember from your childhood too. And then we used to learn the Scriptures, and always we had a lovely gospel message. And I can remember the man who led this particular meeting. He would sometimes stand up with a little pin and he would say, "Now children, I want you to be absolutely quiet while I drop this pin and see if you can hear this pin drop." And all these noisy, boisterous little London children used to sit there absolutely quietly so that they could hear the pin drop. And then we had to remain like that whilst the man gave us his message and told us about the Lord Jesus. And in those days, on special occasions, we'd have what was called a magic lantern, because there was no television in those days, and magic lantern day was something really special when they used to show us films like A Peep Behind the Scenes and Teddy's Button and Christie's Old Organ. So you can see it's going back a few years. But then I also remember the gospel meetings that we used to have in that little hall. And in those days, that was in the 1920s and the 1930s. We had some really great gospel preachers in England. They were really full of fire and zeal. And I can remember as a little child sitting in that hall and listening to the preachers tell us how that we were all born in sin, away from God, all lost, completely lost to Him. And I remember as vividly as though it were yesterday, sitting there, and the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart and showing me that I was a sinner, right away from God, separated from Him. And they told us sadly that if we died like that, we'd be away from Him forever. They told us about the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, coming down from heaven to die on the cross, to bear the judgment for our sins. And you know, I can remember so vividly sitting there listening to that story, and perhaps some of you had the same experience, and my heart just opened to the Lord Jesus, and I just couldn't thank Him enough in my heart for loving me so much as to die for me and to die for my sins. And I can only tell you that it was as a very little child that the Lord Jesus completely won my heart. And very quietly I just bowed and I said to Him, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry for my sins. I know that I'm a sinner. And I can't thank You enough for loving me and for dying for me. And will You please save me and take me and be the Lord of my life? And I remember when we were having one mission, every night they used to sing that lovely hymn, and the chorus goes, where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way. Now, I didn't really know all the implications of this because I was much too young. But I can just remember that in my heart, this is really what I wanted more than anything else in my life. But I've got one little regret. Most of the preachers who came and spoke to us, they would give us an opportunity to go out and talk to them in a back room so that they could pray with us and show us the scriptures. And you know, I used to sit there in fear and trembling and think, oh, I could never go out and speak to the preacher. I'm much too shy for that. And so I would go home, and then when I'd come to the meeting again and hear that same message, I used to bow my head and say, well, Lord Jesus, if I didn't quite say the right thing the first time, or if I didn't do it quite right, will You please save me now? And you know, it was several years before someone pointed out to me that I'd got to rely upon not only the Lord Jesus for salvation, but upon His word to make me sure. And I'd just like to apply this perhaps to someone here this afternoon. In a little while, you're going to hear Mr. Brandon preach the gospel and tell you about the Lord Jesus and His death and about the salvation that He wants to give to each one of us. And it could be that there are some ladies here whom the Lord will touch. And maybe you'll realize that you have sinned. You'll realize that the Lord Jesus died for you, and you'll want Him to be your Savior and your Lord. And yet maybe you'll be a bit afraid of staying behind and speaking to us. Now, don't do that, because it may save you years of uncertainty. Do come and speak to us afterwards if you really are burdened and you really do want to trust the Lord Jesus. Don't be afraid to come and speak to us. And then I noticed when our sister was giving out those birthdays that she did mention a little girl. And as I look around, most of you are older folks, so I don't think there are many young mothers here. Perhaps there are quite a few grandmothers. But do make sure, if you love the Lord Jesus, do make sure that your children hear the gospel, the pure gospel. Teach them the gospel at home. Teach them about the Lord Jesus. You know, we get so busy and involved with things in the house, don't we? But this is the most important thing in life. that our children should grow up to know the Lord and to love him. And then, if there are some of you here who have been brought up in Christian homes, or perhaps been brought up in a religious home to go to church, just ask yourself this question. Have I really had an experience of being saved? Was there ever a time when God really spoke to my heart personally? Or did I always just believe these things in my head and just accept them mentally? Because in order to become a Christian, we have to exercise our wills and personally receive the salvation that the Lord Jesus has given to us. So just check up on that before you leave this hall this afternoon. Now I have a few more minutes, and I just want to say this to you, that it's around 50 years ago since I came to know the Lord Jesus. And you know, if you've known anyone for 50 years, that's a long time. You should know whether they're reliable, you should know what they're like, shouldn't you? And I do want to tell you, and I really wish the Lord Jesus would make me eloquent or put real power into these words, but I really do want to tell you, ladies, that the Lord Jesus is absolutely wonderful, and he has been absolutely precious to me right through my life. We've been through, and I've been through, many different sorts of experience. We all do in a long time, in that many years. And I've found that he's been sufficient for every need and for every situation. He's a wonderful Saviour. I never cease to marvel at his grace in loving me and dying for me. Never cease to marvel at that. But then he's a wonderful Lord and Master. You know, some of us perhaps have had employers who've been pretty hard and have taken the last inch from us. But the Lord Jesus is a wonderful Master to serve. He really is. And you know, his burden is easy. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. He's a comforter when we're going through times of sorrow. He's a strength when we feel our weakness. And he's everything that we need in every situation. He's altogether lovely. And you know, every one of us at a future coming day has got to bow the knee to him and to own him as Lord. But what he wants you to do is to do that now whilst you have life. Because if you acknowledge that in a coming day, it's going to be too late. The scripture says that now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Do come to him today. And this Lord Jesus that we're going to tell you about today, he's not a dead Saviour, he's a Saviour who's alive. And therefore he's able to keep us and empower us and give us all that we need in order to live the Christian life. Now my time has gone, and I was going to tell you one or two more things. Let me just say this, that the Lord has given me the privilege of being married to a man who has spent the whole of his life, since we were married, in travelling around preaching the gospel. And we started off this life by living in an old gypsy type of caravan, which was 60 years old, and working with a tent and caravan in some of the villages in England. And then when the children were old enough to go to school, I stayed at home with them, because this is what I believed. We both believed the Lord wanted me to do for a few years. And I can tell you that in those years when I was at home with the children and my husband was traveling, he always came home between missions and he wrote every day. He was a wonderful husband. But the Lord Jesus was very, very real and very precious to me. And I learned things in those days, I think when I was alone, that I didn't know before, because I had to go to him for everything. And then the children grew up and they left the nest, and they're, as Mrs. Irvine told you, they're both married and have their own homes. And so in 1976, I was at home alone again, and so I was free to be able to go with my husband. And it really has been a tremendous privilege to travel with him to several countries in the world, which when I trusted the Lord as a little girl, I never ever expected would happen to me. And it's just such a privilege, and it's been a wonderful honour and a wonderful privilege to be able to point a number of people to the Lord Jesus and see them trust him and see the change in their lives. And this is what we long for most of all, ladies. And the ladies who've sung to you, the ladies who lead this meeting every week, this is what they long for most of all, that you should come and find the Lord Jesus to be your personal Saviour and the Lord of your life. Think about that and do it this afternoon or this morning for his name's sake. Thank you.